gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. And oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long.
Well, 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 welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. Anyway, however you decide to spend this hour with us, I am very, very glad to have you. As you know, we always chat about relationships and all the relational and sexy things. It's so important to have all your ducks in order before you start in introducing other people into your life. So tonight, I'm really excited because I've got an amazing woman who I've had on the show before, and I have her on again. I've got Margot Denilis. Margot, welcome to the show.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm really excited because we've had you on the show. We've talked about toxic relationships. We've talked about all sorts of things and how we can make a difference in our relationships. And what's really cool is the fact that coming up, you've got one of these weekends that we've been talking so much about over in the last little bit. And so for those listeners who are not familiar with your work, in a nutshell, let's just give our listeners a little bit in terms of what an amazing woman's weekend is.
Okay, well, the next Amazing Weekend that's coming up is this next month on March 27th, 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it is it's really what we're about is creating the space. It's the space we create for women to come together to discover and embrace, discover and embrace their present reality, and because it's all about telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
and discovering their reality now and then claiming what it is they'd like to bring into that reality. So, and with respect to their personal life and relationships, and our whole focus is, you know, we can't let someone love us. We can only allow someone to love us as much as we love ourselves as women. So really working on the self-esteem, self-acceptance piece and making room,
mm-hmm.
For successful relationships. And once we do that, we move more into some principles of how to attract and also how to have and manage and sustain successful relationships, and moving into vintage love and what that really looks like.
And I think it's really exciting, and I think regardless where you are in your relationship, ladies, it is a really good thing, and it's a really good investment of yourself. It's really exciting.
I think another piece, yeah, that women, you know, when every time when the women's weekends complete, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into them, and we're, you know, as a production team, we're often very exhausted going, you know, into them, and on Sunday we have the testimonials, like what women got from the weekend, and my goodness, when we hear those, we're so inspired all over again, like, gosh, we've got to, you know, start planning tomorrow for the next one. So we really are inspired by the changes and the transformation in women. And a big part of that is the healing piece, I think. If women are looking for a really safe and loving, nurturing, supportive place to really heal, like deep paradigm shifts and healing, to really change how they show up personally in relationships. And also, I think a big piece of that is how they have relationships with other women. I think women experience other women in a completely new way at this weekend. And so there's so much healing just within that, with the reflections of other powerful, healthy, amazing women.
And I think that's so important. I know last time I really, really, really enjoyed the workshop, and I know, listeners, I've highly recommended, please check this out. It's one of the best things you can do for yourself. Margot is one of the most amazing. She's got a wonderful team of women with her, which is great. She's got Sandy Russell as well, who is a life coach. And there's so many great women on the production team as well. I'm excited this year. I actually get to be one of them, so I am going to promote.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. Yeah, and that's a special opportunity, too, within the community of Amazing Women, is it doesn't stop with your Amazing Women's Weekend. There's lots of opportunities for continued growth, and also one of the success principles we advocate is, you know, just giving back and how much that does for us as women and giving back to other women. So by, you know, participating in the weekend, there's, you're giving back because proceeds from the weekend go towards Beauty Night Society. And then by participating on the production team, you're giving back to other women what you received on your weekend. So some women like being on production even more than they like being in their own weekend, because they get to give back what they got at their weekend to other women, and they get so much joy out of that as well. So it just creates this wonderful community of like-minded, supportive women who are working on the same success principles. They can support one another in a very truthful, structured environment that's really hard to find in society nowadays.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think people are getting so isolated and people are so stressed. You know, I think a lot of women just get up every morning and put their masks on and pretend they're totally fine and handled, and think that they have to carry that around, and they look at other women and they seem to look handled, and they make things up that everyone appears to be, and you know, and so keeps to themselves. And I don't think women are sharing with one another honestly, and so it makes it difficult to have that authentic communication or relating. So that's just definitely what people will experience at the Women's Weekend, is we set up agreements and boundaries and a structure so that you really can experience true intimacy and deep connection in a very safe atmosphere. So some women leave, you know, saying that they've never felt as seen or witnessed before and as safe. So it's lovely in that for some it's the first time they get to experience that. And that for many goes back to the healing piece, or what we're all seeking in relationship is really this healthy attachment. And healthy attachment is really all it is about being witnessed and seen for who we are authentically, without judgment and without advice and without, without being told how we should show up or that we're wrong. So it's a real opportunity to be witnessed and move through, you know, your life story and re-script it or reframe it as you want it to look, and get the support from other amazing women to come up with exactly what you want it to look like.
And it's a fascinating process, too, because I know for myself going, I found that I was looking, well, I thought I was looking for something different than what I found, actually, and I found a lot more, which was exactly what I needed. But I guess sometimes perhaps as women, and I know even in terms of sexuality, sometimes we have difficulty asking our partners for what we want because we don't always know what we want. And that was one of the things in terms of just as a human being, it was great to go through the workshop and actually explore things because sometimes I don't always have the answers, even if I think I do.
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head in terms of the process that actually occurs. And I think what's actually happening there is I really believe that a woman's pathway back to her true authentic self is through other women, because so often as women we do not know what we want, and it's very hard to articulate that. So the way to find out what we want is through those reflections of other women. So one woman might talk at the weekend and she might say something that's like, no, that doesn't resonate, that doesn't land for me. But another woman might tell her story, and when you're listening to that woman, it's bringing up something in you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that is what I want. You know, so we can feel that in response to another woman, and we discover things about ourselves through other women that, yes, we didn't even know we wanted or we yearned for or we desired. And so many women come away inspired, too. It's like, oh, well, if she wants that, I can want that. And if she can make that happen, I can make that happen. And there's a wonderful synergy that occurs. But there really is it's almost like a mapping. Women sort of map their way to what they want or to success through the other women. It's really quite fascinating. And very organically, it's just through the process that we've set up. It happens very organically. Like, women don't really even realize quite what's happening.
Hmm. And I think that's really important to recognize as well, is the fact that that happens organically. Because I think many times, as you're mentioning, a lot of times as women, we put our masks on in the morning, we go out, and we do our day. It's almost the whole superwoman complex that they talked about in the early 80s, early 90s. I think it exists a lot still, and you compound that with the fact that we're in a fast food environment, and we're competing, and we still see it as a man's world, as opposed to the fact that we've got our own wonderful strengths. And so perhaps some of the techniques that work for men in terms of figuring out what they need, it may not be the best thing for women, which is why I love what you do, because it's stuff that works for the ladies and able to help women reveal themselves to men, which I think is really important, whether they be kids, they're our brothers, our sisters, or, you know, our partners, all of that. It's just so important to be able to do that on that level.
Yeah, a lot of the work we do is gender specific and research based on what does work for women and what does work for men. And for instance, there's a UCLA study on friendship amongst women that really does. It's a landmark UCLA study that does suggest that friendships between women are very special and that they shape who we are, and that it really is like. It can actually have a physiological impact if we have nurturing, supportive women in our lives on a regular and consistent basis. That sort of nurturing environment that we actually have decreased bouts of depression, increased health, decreased stress, and it does have a physiological impact on us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't think that men, for example, are seeking the same kinds of connection when they're meeting with other men.
Mm-hmm.
I think men meeting with men would, decrease their stress levels for sure, but it would not be the same things they would be seeking and gathering with men.
Mm-hmm. Even though I do know there are men's groups where they do seek to try and just tap in more emotionally sometimes, I think there's just different technique, which, as you're saying, it's very gender-specific work. So, and it's really, really key, and it's good to acknowledge and recognize that and just embrace the fact that women are women, men are men, and it's just a really wonderful thing if we recognize and acknowledge and respect each sex as who they are.
Yeah, it's interesting when you were talking about just the whole adrenaline thing and being busy, too, with women. because that the same study speaks to the whole release of oxytocin and how when women gather that women are actually meant to tend and befriend, and how tending and befriending are a woman's natural way of being, and society now is dictating, like taking women so much away from that, that they're in, you know, a testosterone-laden environment, and so they're out in the community, they're competing, and so they're releasing large amounts of testosterone and less oxytocin, and that is why women are getting sicker, or they feel stressed, and so they're being taken out of their natural environment where they do thrive.
And that's interesting that you say that, because I know in terms of an orgasm, for an example, men actually produce 10 times the amount of oxytocin than a woman does during ejaculation, but because of the testosterone, it actually blocks. Because where I always think of oxytocin is the cuddle hormone, where it just makes you want to cuddle afterwards and chat and things, where for them, because they've produced so much, plus the testosterone, it just knocks them out and they need to sleep. So I used to try and encourage women, it's like if you're going to have that big conversation, time and place, don't do it right after having sex.
Yeah.
It may not be the best time, you may not quite get the results that you're envisioning.
You're hoping for. Yeah, which is such a perfect example, though, just how much hormones play a role. Yeah, in terms of timing or, around sex, or when you have those conversations, or how you have those conversations, for example, with the men around the sex, that's not when to have the conversation. Or for a man, the time to have a conversation is not with a woman after, you know, or not asking her to do one more thing after she's been working out in the field. She needs more of the tending and befriending kind of energy, the oxytocin, to feel regenerated, the cuddling and that kind of stuff. So. Yeah, it's really fascinating. Once you start working with it and the women gain the tools and then they start to apply it, it really compounds quite quickly in terms of some real success benefits and outcomes.
And it's a great week in a way as well for girlfriends as well. Or if there's somebody, if you really want to take it, it's worth doing, even if you're by yourself, because it's such a great supportive safe space that's created.
Yeah, that happens quickly for women. I think if you were scared to go on your own, it the bonds happen, you know, occur pretty quickly. But I think also I've witnessed people come together. It's pretty remarkable to witness either girlfriends who think they have a good friendship, but how much deeper their friendship goes if they come together. Or we've often had sister teams or mother-daughter teams, and those are pretty special to watch, because barriers are broken down, or, you know, forgiveness takes place, and misunderstandings are resolved, and it's just wonderful to watch families heal. And some real miracles have taken place at Women's Weekend, and then the other women benefit from witnessing that as well.
They really do, and especially I'm going to bring it back to relationships in regards to that, especially when you start acknowledging, well, I should say we, because I've dealt with my own stuff as well, and I know there's always lots more to do, but in terms of with family with stuff, it brings me back to Harville Hendrick's work in terms of how to get the love that you want, and a lot of times where you say this so much better than I do in terms of the imago, and in terms of basically trying to meet unmet childhood needs, and sometimes we tend to do that in our adult relationships, and being able to recognize those, heal some of that stuff. Sometimes it creates perhaps healthier relationships when we are looking for the love in our life.
Oh, absolutely. I just got a wonderful Imago newsletter the other day, and they were reiterating that, and just that whole piece around Valentine's Day is, and I think that's something that comes alive for women really loud and clear on the weekend, too, is that, yes, our partner that we've attracted to us, as much as they frustrate us, there's a whole new perspective within that. And that new perspective is that person, within those things that they're doing that trigger us, there's so many nuggets and so many opportunities to not only heal our own childhood wounds or unmet needs, but even more powerful is that we can call our partners forward to become a more whole person. And that's where the wonderful reflection takes place, is if we can dare to risk to challenge our partners when they trigger us and ask for what we need, we step into becoming more of who we need to become. And then our partner also gets to become more of who they need to become, because we are this perfect match for one another in terms of just reflecting those childhood unmet needs, right? Like, it's just an ideal match. Like, sometimes I'll feel so nervous about talking to my husband about something, or like, oh, should I bother? Or, you know, just let it go. But I think, wow, I'm going to heal from this, but not only that, I can bring him into being more of a whole man, or, you know, a better person. And he often hates me for it, and, you know, he's frustrated that he's married to someone who always speaks to it, but he's always so grateful that he gets to become a better, more full person.
And I think that's really important to recognize as well when you're with someone, is you should be there for the right reasons, which is basically trying to make each other better.
Mm-hmm,
and just creating that sanctity of love and intimacy, which I think is really important.
And that's another really neat piece too, when you say that, it just made me think of that is why I wanted to marry my husband, or I knew that he was the right person to marry, is that I knew that he would be the person that would make me a better person. And there's a lot of opportunity at the Women's Weekend, too, for women too, who are single, to get really clear on that piece. You know, what is it that they need? What is it that, they're looking for that will make them become a better woman? And, you know, what's their essential list? What needs to be in place for them to find or attract that perfect partner, life partner? So, it's, you know, when it says it's about relationships, it's not just for people who are in relationships. There's a lot of opportunity for women to get clear if they're single in their life, to get clear on what it is they want to attract.
And I think it's really important, especially bringing it back to the whole Harville Hendricks thing as well. I know there are a few of the pieces that you did during the workshop, especially the, and for those of you out there who are listening, it's 2 days and it's pretty intense. It's amazing. Day one is focused mainly on a lot of self-growth, a lot of healing, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of celebration. It's really lovely. Day two, in terms of the relational piece, there is a great deal. And I know for myself, when I went, at the time I was single, and it was actually really fascinating, because when you'd recommended actually think about your dad, it was interesting, because, again, I really do believe we do repeat patterns a lot of times and try and fix things, as you were mentioning earlier, in there that were not met in childhood. So it was fascinating, and it was really scary to actually see that right there on paper.
But so freeing to be able to, and that's a big success principle we speak to, is that which we can't be with runs our lives. But as soon as you can look at it, be with it, and embrace it, it almost disappears instantaneously as an issue that drives you negatively and has that hold on you. And with the support of other amazing women, to be able to look at that and just be with it and accept it and get what you need to grieve it and move through it and make room for attracting something different.
Very much so. And it's, as you're mentioning, in terms of reflecting with all the different women there, it was lovely to see people who were in relationships for 20 years plus, where just where they're at in terms of their relationships, sometimes where their husband loved them a little too much, other times where they didn't acknowledge who their husband was. It was really neat, and just all the changes and how the evolutions and how they finally came to terms with things about themselves, that where they and how they contributed to the changes in their relationship, and then when they and how eager they were to go home and actually put that stuff into action, was really exciting.
Yeah, that is an exciting piece. That's a really exciting piece, as we have a weekend coming up, as the registrations come in, and we start to get a sense of who the women, you know, we start to piece together who, what this weekend will be becoming, and, you know, seeing what women are coming and why they're wanting to be there, and that all starts long before the weekend, and it's pretty exciting to see it come together. And you start to get sort of a flavor of the weekend and the stories you're likely to hear. So it's pretty fun. And it is, it's also a reflection that it's for any type of women. Like, we've had women who are 18 and women who are 85 in the same weekend. And those women learn so much from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all women have different things to bring, but there's so much wisdom in that room, regardless of age, race, occupation. And every woman comes to the weekend with an intention or a dream, but it's, one woman's dream might be just to have more simplicity in her life, and another woman's dream might be to become an international model. It's really wonderful, too, to see that we all have different dreams, but the real desires beneath those dreams are pretty basic and organic and similar amongst women, despite mm-hmm. what they look like in sort of paper.
No, it's so true. We're going to take a really, really quick short break, and when we get back, what I want to do, actually, is I'm actually going to, if it's all right with you, Margo, I'd love to actually play the video that's actually on the website, and actually just have the vocals actually just on just before we start in again, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
That would be great. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR, and I almost forgot that at the top of the show I was playing Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come, and I'm actually dedicating that to Dean. So if he's out there listening, which I think he is, he might be actually in the green room right now listening. But anyway, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
So that doesn't happen to anyone.
The freshest acts in electronic entertainment are coming to Code Live. Three weekends, eight shows in Vancouver's newest multimedia concert space. Thursday, February 18th, Bell Orchestra featuring members of Arcade Fire light up the Center for Digital Media, three blocks east of the Main Street Science World SkyTrain station. Tickets, $18. Call 1-800-TICKETS or tickets.com.
And I saw women that
Code.
Have,
it's
that
the Cultural Olympiad's digital edition. For
despair.
More info, visit vancouver2010.com/CODE.
And I want that today. And I'm doing that today.
Look at retirement. Look at something positive happening in my life. Instead of just going in the same old rut, I really want to make quite a few changes. And this is giving me the motivation to do that.
How much the same we are, and how supportive everybody is, and it was just a safe, nurturing environment to do this work, and I'm leaving feeling really great that there's so many wonderful people in the world.
And we just believe so strongly that being with women intimately and regularly is the key to solving probably all the societal problems. If we can be with women and find our way, then we can be with men successfully, and then the world's a safer place for children.
I have some little tools to take with me now to deal with my little demons or gremlins or whatever else we have, and it's just been an absolutely phenomenal experience for me.
There's something for everybody.
I know.
And you will gain out of it, regardless of where you're at and where you want to go.
I just know that I've grown so much.
My needs have been met, and not only that, I've been blessed with meeting some great new women.
The Amazing Women Success Training Institute, it can sound quite technical in that it's about success, but it really is about creating hope for women. It's about creating safety and a place to heal. And I get all the things that what we teach is what we get.
Mm-hmm. And we're back. It's Sexy in Van City Radio, and you got to listen to a little bit. I had a little bit of technical difficulty there because I got the two computer screens up, and I could hear it playing while I was playing the PSA. So, Margot, I apologize about that, but we got to hear some of the testimonies from some of the participants who participated last time. It was absolutely fantastic in the Amazing Woman's Weekend, and just about the fact that it's one of the most amazing, wonderful, life-altering things that you can do for yourself. So, guys, get your ladies out there to make a difference in their own lives, because as we were saying before the break, it can make a difference in your life. It's really, really, really exciting, and I highly recommend that for everyone. And welcome back to the show. And if you are just joining us, the next weekend coming up is March the weekend of March the 27th and 28th. And it's going to be out in Richmond. And the Saturday is going to be a long day, starting at 7:30 in the morning and going to about 10 or 10:30 at night. And it's action-packed. You're going to learn a lot. And then the second day is from about 8 o'clock to about 6 o'clock that day. So there's a lot of work that will be done. And you'll come away with a lot of really great things. As one of the women in the video said, tools to deal with all her gremlins, which I really like that quote, Margot, I have to say. In terms of with gremlins and things like that, because all of us have gremlins in our life, and just learning how to deal with that helps enhance us as people.
Yeah, we do a lot of that on the weekend. My background, I have a very strong background in cognitive therapy. I've worked as a cognitive therapist for years, so I definitely incorporate a lot of cognitive therapy into the work we do. From Aaron Beck's work, or David Burns. There's a handy book that a lot of people are probably very familiar with, called The New Mood Therapy, and Dr. Burns does a lot of work with depression on using cognitive therapy, but the real premise is really reframing thoughts, and that really our reality is based on our thoughts, and we become our thoughts, and so we do a lot of work on helping women take a look at what are they thinking in a day, and if they're thinking what they're thinking, what kinds of feelings, behaviors, and outcomes are they having as a result of that?
Mm-hmm.
And if they reframe their thoughts, how might those outcomes change? And then we do the work that takes a look at the underlying mechanisms that we've spoken of as some of the childhood core beliefs. And that work, some of those things that are going, that are working towards fueling the day-to-day thoughts. So there is really a very, very systematic approach. There are, you know, so many exercises, and, you know, a participant going through the weekend may not really realize that there's quite as a systematic approach, but there really, really is, as we're working to uncover the thoughts that happen in a day, and behind that, you know, what is fueling the thoughts and the core beliefs, and and how does one develop the core beliefs from the primary caregivers, and what story did you develop from the primary caregivers, and based on those stories, you know, what decisions did you make, and what did you vow to hold on to really tightly to protect yourself, and, you know, so sort of unraveling all that, unraveling the story, and then recreating that story using the same system with the support of the other women.
And it's fascinating how effective it is, because it's almost like taking the life coaching combined with the cognitive, so you do the deep work, but I know some people have been in therapy for years and don't get to where some of the women got to after 2 days, which kind of blew me away.
Yeah, I know. People often say that, how could this happen in 2 days? I think it is the combination of the two. I think what happens often in therapy is they're just doing the one piece, which we call going down the tube.
And down the tube.
They'll go down and do the work to discover and heal, and maybe get stuck down there, you know, figuring it out and analyzing it. And it's very, very important work because, like I said, what we don't look at or we can't be with can take over subconsciously and rule, you know, run our lives if we can't be with things. So we need to be with it and go there, but we don't need to stay there. And the piece that keeps us inspired and motivated and, you know, jazzed and just excited to get up every day
is the
aptitude piece, you know, like
the aptitude.
What excites you, what are your values, the fulfillment piece, like that, and that's the coaching piece, is, you know, what fulfills you, what inspires you, what needs to be on your plate every day so you feel juicy and excited and you know, regenerated and charged and, you know, full of anticipation and excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And helping women see that those two things can go hand in hand simultaneously, because that's definitely what the weekend is those two things together. And you get those two things in the room and you experience life to its fullest with the darkness and the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that full texture and experience, they're not so afraid of the darkness if they can experience the light with it alongside, and the hope and the celebration. So they all have to go together, and you can't just sort of go one way, either down the tube. And then another piece of that is many sort of workshops or some work that's just purely coaching, it just goes too much up the tube. And that's very unhealthy or scary, too, because that can be a real setup for women if, you know, you're encouraging people just to be positive and think over or work over, and that's very hard to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rational. It's not healthy to always be rah-rah and positive. It's not realistic. So,
in other words, I could almost see that leading to addiction in some ways, whether that be through an eating disorder where it's almost a coping mechanism because it's not right for me to feel bad. So I've got to bury it under this, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's moving away from authenticity, moving into shame, yeah.
Yeah, which even though men and women, I found it interesting as well, and I know we've talked about this on other shows, but that was something that was a nice eye-opener for me on the weekend in terms of men and women and the differences, in terms of fear-based and shame-based, in terms of the choices that we make in life sometimes, where we'll go out of our way to just avoid feeling fear, and for men, shame.
Mm-hmm.
And just how that can affect us, and if we're in that survival mode where all those choices just keep doing that, and then it just keeps spiraling downward as opposed to kicking ourselves up.
Yeah, we can, if we are in a fear-shame dynamic, we can move away from our partners very quickly, very rapidly. And as we as women move further into fear, men move further into shame. And without realizing it, very unintentionally, we can harm one another quite quickly and quite drastically. I'll give you a list of some of the fun things for the women who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of the fun things you can do, a little checklist. These are just a few of the things that we do as women that can create shame in men. And we all do them all the time, so you might want to just get your...
I better get this for a refresher, too. It's
yeah,
good to know.
Yeah, you might want to put a rubber band on your wrist and
snap it every once in a while.
Yeah, every time you do one of these, give yourself a little snap. And if you can decrease these, you're going to increase his shame.
Okay.
And if his shame, I mean, decrease his shame. So if you're protecting your partner's vulnerability to shame in men... Men get a cortisol dump every time they experience shame. And when they get that cortisol dump, they'll do everything in their power to avoid you if you're the shame trigger.
Hmm.
So they'll work more, they'll drink more, they'll stonewall you more. They'll do more and more of the things that create fear in you, which are typically fear of isolation, fear of being harmed, or fear of being deprived for women. So you get in this vicious cycle. So they'll do more of their shame-driven behaviors, which will lead to more fear, and you'll slowly drift apart. So here's a few of the things we as women do to men that can create this awful shame in men, where they'll do everything in their power to avoid you. Because it is a physiological experience, which we don't even ever experience. We don't know what it's like, and we never will. But apparently it's pretty close to unbearable. There's several ways women unknowingly and repeatedly trigger shame in men, and becoming aware of how we are doing this, and with your little elastic bands.
how do we do this? How shall we snap ourselves?
The men will move closer to you and want to connect to you. So start being aware if you're excluding him from important decisions. You know, are you making unilateral decisions in your partnership?
Are you
making financial decisions on your own without consulting? Are you, as a parent, are you parenting unilaterally, that kind of thing? Are you robbing him of the opportunity to help? Are you an over-functioning woman and an overdoing woman? Men really love the opportunity to be admired and helpful and just to be able to take care of women. And very often women, again, like you were saying earlier, nowadays they...
We're super women.
Super women. So there's no room for men to...
Take care of us.
Take care. And so they experience shame, I think, repeatedly as we become more over-functioning and overdoing. Do you correct what he says? You know, you're out with friends and he says something that's perhaps not in line with your values or your opinion, but you correct him. Do you question his judgment? Do you give unsolicited advice? There's nothing wrong with giving advice, but we usually should ask permission or ask if someone wants our advice before we give it. So are we giving unsolicited advice? And are we ignoring his advice if he has advice for us?
Hmm.
Do you imply inadequacy? I think we're all pretty good at that one.
Yes.
I think I'm pretty good at that one. just by the look, all it takes
is a look.
I think
we all are.
Yeah. Making unrealistic demands at this time. Overreacting itself can be a form of criticizing his choices or behaviors. Ignoring his needs, again, that can send the message that he's not important. I think another thing, women are very problem oriented. That's how women relate. That's how women connect. You see a woman who has a problem or is suffering, we move towards a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So what we often do with men is we focus on what we didn't get instead of what we did get, or we focus on what we don't want instead of just clearly stating what we do want.
Mm-hmm.
So even by shifting that one up a lot, you can protect your partner's vulnerability to shame. Instead, you know, turning your frustrations into requests of what you want instead of, I didn't get this, I wish you did this more, that kind of language. Do you withhold praise or do you withhold sex? Do you use harsh tones? Do you value other people's needs over his? That's very common with children. They say the best thing you can do for your children is love your spouse.
Hmm. That makes sense. Setting a healthy example of a healthy relationship is probably the best thing you could do for your kids.
Yeah. Do you undermine his wishes? Do you, belittle his work or name call? Show little or no interest in his interests? I'm criticizing his family. That's a really big one for men. Do you ignore him? I'm psychoanalyzing or interpreting him. Do you compare him? Do you go over to your friend's house and for dinner, for a couple's dinner, and compare him all the way home to your friend's partner? Do you dismiss him? Do you focus on your unhappiness? Do you expect him to make you happy? Do you globalize, generalize, therapize, or project your unhappiness onto him?
Mm.
So again, I mean, there's a laundry list of lots of things. If you simply turn those around, it could make a big difference to how he feels in a day. And that would turn around to probably, it would translate into you feeling a lot safer in your relationship.
And that makes a lot of sense, too. And I think it comes right back down to communication. And that was one of the things I loved about the workshop, even myself, where I went there as a single gal. So it was interesting because I think I definitely came away with a lot of stuff, even though I like to think I had pretty good communication skills to start with. But I learned a lot from watching the other women, especially ones who have that experience of being in long-term monogamous relationships. It was quite lovely to see.
Mm-hmm.
And just how the choices they've made and just how they grew throughout the weekend as I got to know them more, see their journey and where they wanted to go. It was quite exciting. And it was lovely to see some of them almost 6 weeks later at Christmas time. It was quite great just for a follow-up and to see where they were at in terms of their life.
Well, it's lovely to have the tools, too, because the trajectory of a normal marriage is not smooth sailing always. And so to have a toolkit, and also a community of women that you can go back to. You know, I think of the number of calls I get where a woman just in the middle of her day is so off track, and she'll phone and we'll touch base and she's back on track, like in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. On how to take care of a marriage where she could have reacted. She could have said something that would take them both out probably for 2 weeks. And as a community of women, we can support one another in relationship and marriage and really take 2 steps back, look at the bigger picture, look at the bigger trajectory of marriage, have a vision of, you know, what is it you're really wanting here? You know, and not making choices and not acting from emotion, and you know, working intentionally together as women to support one another in what you say you really want personally and what you want in your relationships, and to have the tools to support that. And another nice thing about the Women's Weekend, I actually, before I came on this call, I was on Facebook and saw another woman that had been to a weekend years ago, and she said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she just said, "Oh, I need to come again." You know? And so, because she's getting married. And so she'll come back in March. And, you know, when she came last time, she came as a single woman. But this time, she'll be coming because she's getting married. So how exciting to have a place to connect in, to know she can get the tools from a new perspective, a whole new group of women with a whole new, you know, abundance of wisdom for her going into marriage, and some tools to stay inspired and hopeful that her marriage will be strong and lasting and realistic.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big one, especially with marriage, because sometimes I think we go in there really thinking about happily ever after and forgetting about the fact that it's really hard work sometimes. Uh-huh. It should be rewarding, but at the same time, it's both people have to work at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, because sometimes I meet couples who've been together for like 50, 60 years, and it's, I have to say, that's one of my favorite things to see is seeing an older couple actually holding hands.
I know, it's not lovely.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the most, to me, one of the most beautiful things I can see. I get really excited whenever I see that. So.
Well, that's probably a very clear reflection of that being something you want.
Yes, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited.
So I will do what I can to support you, Caroline, to make sure that's what you have.
Thank you very much. And for any women out there as well, which I know for... one of the things you mentioned at the weekend last time was in regards to, you gave an example of a woman, a cartoon, where she had the T-shirt that said, "I forgot to have children."
Yeah. Oh, my God, I forgot to have children. And it's all about being intentional. We want you to be deliberate and intentional and know that you can have anything you want. As long as you're deliberate and intentional, you have amazing women around you and a toolkit, it's all possible.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I wanted to reiterate, which you did mention last time I had you on the show when we chatted about toxic relationships, and I'm going to ask you this again, is why do we focus on the women? And why are we not doing the courses for the men?
Oh, because women are relational, I think, at this time. There's lots of reasons, but I think because it goes back to the tending and befriending. Women are relational. And number one, women are going to be more inclined to come to the Women's Weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get women to the Women's Weekends and get them doing the work first and living the principles of the Women's Weekend, it seems that the men are naturally enrolled through example.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if the women are, you know, working with this fear-shame dynamic and the men feel less shame in relationship with women, they feel inspired, they feel more connected to women, they want more of what the women are exhibiting, they ask more questions. And I think this is how we can get the men on board, as opposed to shaming the men into many, like typically you see a lot of men shamed into therapy. You know, they end up in a counselor's office. You ask any counselor, 9 out of 10 of the men in a couple's counseling session have been coerced there, shamed to get there. And then the therapy session ends up focusing on all the bad things the man's doing to make the woman feel bad.
Wow.
And he leaves the counseling session feeling more ashamed of himself. And so this model, it makes room for a woman. Yeah, not work. This makes room for a woman to take responsibility for her own happiness. She becomes contagious. The men feel more connected to her and supported, and more inspired to jump on board and do the work as well. So there's been, you know, we've had some great success too with couples, and that once the women have done the work, I also do couples therapy after. And mm-hmm. So after the women have done the women's weekend, they naturally enroll their husbands, and then the husbands are right on board to do just the one-on-one work, the couples therapy work or coaching, and that works really, really well. But and I would love eventually to do a men's weekend too.
I think that'd be great, and I know you're
mentioned. I'd want to come with a woman leading it, so I'd have to find a man who would buy into the similar principles and lead the men. I don't think I'd want to do that.
Well, we'll have to see. You never know what you ask the universe for. It comes back in spades. So, and you teach some great stuff. So one of the other things that you mentioned was, I know we've talked about the marriage boot camp that and you had mentioned in the past that it was interesting that where it was the guys that once they committed, they just get right in there in terms of the work.
Oh, it's so great to see. I love, doing the couples workshops. We haven't done one in a long time, but again, typically the people who came as couples to the couples workshop were couples after the women had done the women's weekend.
So the women already had the tools.
Yeah, the women had been working and living with the principles of the women's weekend, and then the men were on board and came. But boy, you get those men in the room, and they're so committed, and more committed to the women, better listeners. If you tell them what to do and how to do it, they show up 10 times better than the women do.
So why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
I think it's because women, I don't like to be too general. You know, I'm sure we like to deal with individuals, but I think overall women tend to be so problem-oriented. And the men are really solution-oriented and no problem-oriented if they know what to do. And they're so clear if we deliver to them, and they just want to make women happy. So if women take responsibility to get clear on what it is that makes them happy and learn how to ask for it directly and briefly and in a language that they can hear, they just want to make them happy. And so they're quite eager to do, if they've got a roadmap, and they're quite eager for that roadmap. And they're really excited when you tell them you got one for them. And so they're just sitting on the edge of their chair, like, you know, give it to me and I'll do whatever I can. So it's just so refreshing and lovely to see that just how eager they are and excited and how much they do want to make the women in their lives happy. It was so, paramount that's really all they want as a group, to see them as a group together.
I think it's fantastic. And I want to bring that up as well for listeners that may be listening tonight, just so they realize that even though it's an amazing woman's weekend, that it makes a huge difference for everybody.
Yeah, it does to the men, for sure. And the families and communities at large, it really does. Yeah.
And it's really exciting. I know you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and I know I focus more on the relational things and all the and some of the benefits. But there's other benefits as well. This time, a part of the proceeds are going to Beauty Night Society, the net proceeds, which is so exciting. And thank you once again.
So excited about that. And I think just to be able to tell women that, you know, again, as women, they tend to tend and befriend. They'll take care of another woman before they'll take care of themselves. So if they know that they can do this weekend and help another woman who's marginalized or less fortunate than themselves, that's going to bring them so much joy as well. It brings in the whole service piece and so much in line with
our
vision and values, and so much in line with Beauty Night Societies, is to help women live healthier
And happier. It's happier basically
life.
Life makeovers is what we've been chatting about, changing it. And I think it's really important, especially for women who have been debilitated and live in poverty sometimes and have experienced a lot of both relational as well as physical violence.
Yeah, and I'd love to see more of those women at the Women's Weekend, too. I think there's a beautiful opportunity for healing amongst women to have those women at the weekend with to increase the diversity of women at the weekends, because I think that's such a healing element within itself to have all walks of life. Like, you know, to have the successful doctor, lawyer sitting beside, you know, a more marginalized woman who is homeless, for example, and to see that
we're all women.
Regardless, we come from, we're all women with the same desires, and it really boils down to those three fears we all have as women and that motivate us in life is, you know, the fear of deprivation, the fear of being harmed, and the fear of loss. And, you know, how we work our whole life to avoid those things. And so to help all women with that and to create a world where there's hope and abundance and prosperity for women. So regardless of where we come from.
And I think it's really, really important. Margot, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I'm so excited. And I can't wait to be at the weekend myself. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so glad you'll be there, Carolyn. And thanks for all that you do. And, thank you for your help in spreading the word for the Women's Weekend. We want to touch as many women as we can.
And, ladies, if you haven't bought yourself something yet for International Women's Day, which is coming up on March 8th, which CITR is doing a lot of programming that day, so it's pretty exciting, it would be really, 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 really wonderful, great gift to get to yourself. Or, guys, if you're listening, this is a great gift to get the lady in your life. If you, you know, if she's important to you, and encourage her to do it for herself, because I think that's really, really key.
If anyone has any questions, Caroline, they can email me directly at mdcoach, M-D-C-O-A-C-H, at shaw.ca.
That's perfect. And as well as that, we do have an event listing on Facebook as well for the event, too, for the Amazing Women's Weekend. And as well as that, Margot, do you want to mention your websites as well, just in case people want to find out more information, too?
Yeah, the website address is www.libertyforsuccess.com.
That's so perfect. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you very, very shortly. And thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for having me. And I look forward to seeing all the women there.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I think it's going to be great. And up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. And I'm looking forward to seeing his shoes, which I haven't turned around to see yet. But I know it's going to make me very, 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 very excited.